Hey, this is Steve Stewart from MoneyPlanSOS.com. It is my pleasure to introduce to you the man with a plan to educate and escalate, a teacher and a preacher for all things podcast and broadcast, the master of the podcast space, who is an acquired taste, my online friend and yours, podcasting since 2005, host of the School of Podcasting Morning Announcements, Mr. Dave Jackson.
Hey, episode number 421 is coming right at you, featuring the one, the only, Pat Flynn of smartpassiveincome.com. As I look at his website right now, he made $83,903.53. And we're going to learn from Pat. Number one, how long does it take to make content that connects that well with your audience? We're going to talk about his new product, the Smart Podcast Player. And hey, what makes it so smart? What makes it so cool? It's one episode, but many topics, so grab a pen and paper and get ready to take some notes because there's a lot to learn from this interview. Steve, you know you want to say it. Go ahead, buddy.
Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Oh, podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you very, very, very much for tuning in to the show. I am so stoked. It's beyond belief. And I'm saying stoked because Pat Flynn is on the show today. And I'm stoked because in less than a week, I'm going to be hanging out at Podcast Movement. If you are anywhere near Dallas, Texas, I'm telling you, I know it's August. I know it's going to be hot. But man, it's going to be hot inside too. We are going to get our geek on at the Podcast Movement. I'm going to be speaking there on editing. If you see me, if you know me, trip me, poke me, hug me, whatever it takes, I want to meet you. So I don't want to hear, oh, I didn't want to, no. I want to meet you at Podcast Movement. So please come shake my hand and say hello. If you have been thinking about going, we're talking over 500 people. SchoolofPodcasting.com/podcast movement. Easy for me to say. How about podcast movement? There we go. And if you're across the pond, well, I wish I was over there hanging out with people like John Biscull. Man, I wish I could hear his speech. That's my buddy from Johnson's Media. And Ben Adam Smith and Kevin Mulryan. I'm going to miss people. Obviously, Mike and Isabella Russell and my buddy Shrek and everybody else on the UK. Check out UKpodcasters.com going on the same weekend. And I got to say, I'm going to do something a little different on the show today. And that is normally I will I'll play an interview and I will kind of do like a director's cut where I will throw in things that I wish I would have said during the interview or if something really cool comes along. And I got to be honest with you, it's the weekend before the weekend. At Podcast Movement, and I'm still working on the final touches of my speech and a couple other things. And so I'm just going to let this play, but I do have a little public service announcement before we get to the interview with Pat. By the Nun, you know her, love her, you've seen her work with the animal cruelty places. Joining us right now, that's right, Sarah McLaughlin.
Hi. This is Sarah McLaughlin. Dave Jackson founded the School of Podcasting in 2005, and since then, his podcast has been downloaded over 995,000 times. Meanwhile, it's received 74 ratings, or 0.0074% of the people who have listened have rated this show in iTunes. That's not 0.7%, that's 0.0074%. 74%. If we look at how many people have left a review, that would be 52 or 0.0052%. With your help and reviews, we might be able to get up to 0.5% someday, or maybe possibly if we all chipped in, we might get to a number that we don't have to include so many decimal points that it doesn't say zero. Won't you help this podcast be seen in iTunes and help Dave come off the ledge, untie the noose around his neck, and throw away the giant jar of sleeping pills? If the show has ever made you think or take action, saved you money, or helped you avoid a headache, won't you consider doing this one-time action by going to schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes and helping us get to 0.01? You can also subscribe to the show there. Again, you only have to do this one time, and it means so much. I'm Sarah McLachlan. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you, Sarah.
And if you're wondering, hey, Dave, how can you play that? I believe I can get away with that because it's a parody. I think legally there's a parody clause. But yeah, if you feel like reviewing the show, schoolofpodcasting.com/iTunes, greatly appreciated. And as I said, today, here's what I want you to listen for. Listen for how long it takes him to create a post, because it's amazing. The detail, and you'll find out the mentality that goes into making a post for Pat Flynn. You're going to see how long it took him to really have that size of audience to do that. You can see how he said, I want to stand out. I don't want to be like the other internet marketers. I'm going to do what I think is best. And so at the time it was like, what? He's not pushing things down our throat? You're going to hear him talk about the smart podcast player. Now, this is a really interesting player. At first, I actually, I bought it, and I've been kind of playing with it off and on. And I was like, how is this going to work? It works off your RSS feed without getting too geeky. You basically tell this player to listen to your podcast, and every time you put out a new post, it adds a new episode to this player. And you just can basically put it on a page, and you'll hear me talk. It's almost like having your own separate website inside this little player that you can put on one page. And you can check this out at smartpodcastplayer.com. And just generally, the interesting thing about Pat Flynn, as I look back upon this, and I say this in the episode, he's just so stinking Pat Flynn. So what you hear is what you get. And the other little tip here I'm going to point out here, I've asked Pat to come on the show before. For the longest time, he was the only guy to ever tell me no, and it's because he had this thing called a kid. And I'm like, what? Priorities? Come on. And so when I heard he was releasing the Smart Podcast Player, I was like, ah, now Pat has something to promote. And sure enough, that got him right on the show. And technically, I probably could have asked him anyway. He was just, he had his hands kind of full the time when I asked him. So super nice guy. And with that, get your pens and paper and get ready to take some notes as we listen to my conversation with Pat Flynn. First of all, if you haven't read the book, Let Go, you've got to do it for this experience only. And that is when you read the book, you get to hear Pat in your head. And that is a fun little, just a fun experience all the way around. But here's a guy that did what you're supposed to do. He went to college. He got a job. He worked his butt off to climb the corporate ladder, only to find at the top of the corporate ladder a lovely pink slip. And I read that story and I'm like, oh, I've been there, done that. I mean, you're looking at a guy who won Employee of the Year for the second year and got let go 6 months later. So I was like, I know, I feel your pain. And there he is. He's like, okay, what do I do now? And mainly the biggest reason was the economy went in the toilet. It wasn't anything that Pat did. And so what do you do? Well, it turns out he was studying for the LEED exam. And this is the part I loved. You took notes online so you could read your notes anywhere. And unbeknownst to you, your notes were going bonkers on the web. And he just happened to meet up with some internet guys and he explained how much traffic he had. And they went, oh, dude, you got to write a book. And that's the part I just loved. It's like you were sitting on this gold mine and just had no idea. And the beauty of it is he turned it into a book. It went bonkers on the internet, made tons of cash, which then has now allowed you to go, hey, this internet marketing thing is pretty cool. And the thing I love about Pat, if you look up the the rule of reciprocity, I'm pretty sure you're going to see your picture, because the interesting thing about Pat is you give away so much free content that when you do put out a product, people have to, like, they stumble over themselves to throw money at you because we all feel like we owe you so much. So I know you're a busy guy, and just thanks so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. I'm so happy to be here. And as far as the law of reciprocity, I mean, that the way I do business now is a result of exactly the story you just told. I had just given away all my notes for free. And then when I came out with this book, it was interesting because a lot of the customers who bought that book had actually already passed the exam using my notes. They just wanted to buy it to thank me. And so that's been my business model ever since and all the different types of businesses I've created. And it's a win for everybody. I love it and I promote it and I try to get people to understand that it's a powerful thing to do what you can to provide value. And oftentimes that means giving away things for free. It'll always come back in some way, shape, or form.
Well, one of the questions I want to ask you, because a lot of people now are getting into podcasting and internet marketing and things like that. How long did it take you to become Pat Flynn? Like at what time did you go, wow, and you got success and you hit that kind of certain level?
Sure. I mean, when I first started and the book did really well, I still wasn't really sure about all of it. I wasn't really confident in my business skills. I mean, I was making good money and I was growing every month, but I still, the big sort of aha moment, the big time when I understood, like, this is who I am and what I'm all about now, was actually several months after I had started my business, after I had gotten laid off. My boss, the one who actually let me go, he called me back. He apparently had started his own firm. He walked away from the company that we were at and he brought a bunch of my coworkers with him. And he actually asked me to come back and made a very generous offered to pay for my move, to pay for even so many months of rent and that sort of thing. And I had the confidence to say no. And it was the best no I had ever said. And that's when I knew, you know, this is the new direction of my life. And I'm much more happy and fulfilled this way. And I think, you know, oftentimes during my journey, I've sort of been reintroduced to that feeling. Another time was when I had my kids. You know, each time I've had my kid and to be there and to watch their first steps, to hear their first words, that is always reassurance for me that this is what life is all about for me and who I am. Other times it's when I get an email from somebody who has said I helped them or have made a significant impact on their life. That's another reminder of me that this is who I am and what I'm all about. And I'm very blessed to have these constant reminders and to be sort of sharing things in an open channel where I can get feedback immediately for the things I do. That was a big difference for me from the world of architecture. You know, I worked my butt off. Like you said, I worked often 9-10 hours a day sitting behind a computer doing AutoCAD and not really getting any credit for it. People don't understand and don't even remember or know who built the buildings that they walk and sleep in and eat in and so on and so forth. But here I was writing this book and people were sending me emails saying, Pat, like calling me by name, Pat, you helped me so much save time and money on this exam. Thank you. And now on smartpassiveincome.com, I'm like, Pat, thank you so much. Like it's always direct credit to me for the work that I put in. And I love that that's the case now.
Yeah. How long do you think that took to where you really started to get that feedback from folks?
It was almost immediate. The week I launched my ebook, I started to get comments about it. It was really funny though, because you know I'm just like any other human being. When I was trying something new, like publishing and selling that ebook, I immediately thought that I was going to get emails back from customers saying that it was just worthless, that it wasn't helpful. You know, just doing everything I could possibly think of to sabotage myself. But I started getting emails back from people saying, "Wow, this is the guy that I've always wanted. This is what I wish was available 6 months ago," and that sort of thing. So, you know, that immediate feedback was literally immediate.
So that was your first product. What other products have you had over the years?
Well, I've come out with a number of other products. I mean, the second one directly stems off of that first one. It was an audiobook, and that was my first sort of experience with trying to do something with my voice. And it was probably the worst experience in the world because I had gotten information from the people in my mastermind group. Hey, you have this ebook now. It's doing very well. A logistical next step would be to record an audiobook. And so I tried to do that myself. I spent 3 days recording the entire thing and I started to listen to it. And it was just the worst audio you could ever think of. For some reason, even though I was reading, I was saying, there were random pauses. The quality was terrible because I was using a Logitech headset for gaming. I thought that's what I had to do. But that actually helped me understand this experience of, you know, having other people do things for me and investing in my own business. I actually hired somebody on Elance.com, a voice talent, to read for me. And they got the files back to me in a couple of weeks. I sold that in addition to the ebook that I had. And that was a hit. And that I made up the cost of that. I paid about $1,400, which was more money than I'd ever spent on anything at that point in life. I made up the cost of that in about 2.5 days. So that was pretty incredible. And so I've done a lot of other things online, you know, on smartpassiveincome.com. Most of the stuff I've done on smartpassiveincome.com has been free, although I've been making a great income from Smart Passive Income through affiliate marketing. So I basically share these processes and things that I learn. I show people and I kind of lead by example. And along the way, there are opportunities for me to say, hey, here's the tool that I use. This is what it did for me. And here's a link that if you go through and you make a purchase yourself, you know, I'll get a commission for it. And that's how I earn a lot of the money I earn on smartpassiveincome.com. And, you know, I've sort of in the same way as I approached internet marketing in a very honest, authentic, and transparent manner, purposely to try and differentiate myself, and because it's just everything else that was out there at the time was just very icky to me. I didn't want to be like that. And so I take the same approach with affiliate marketing. I just say, hey, this is an affiliate link right here. This link right here, there's nothing I'm hiding. And here's what you get when you go into it. And here are the things that are wrong with it, you know, being very honest and upfront. And I find that the more that I reveal about that product, even though it's not mine, it's somebody else's, the more that I show I've used it and the results I get, and all, even what's wrong with it, the more sales I get through those links. Recently, however, I've been starting to sort of create my own products for this audience I have at smartpassiveincome.com. And, you know, a significant portion of my audience are podcasters. And I've discovered actually since creating another podcast in addition to the one that I have now, Ask Pat is my 5-day a week podcast where I take a voicemail question from the audience through SpeakPipe and I answer that question 5 days a week. And or answer a different question 5 days a week. And I had my team develop a custom player on AskPat.com. You can see it right there right now. And that player was built just for me to, and it was built just for this particular show, the daily show. And it just allowed people to search through everything very quickly and find answers and so on and so forth. I got a ton of requests from people saying, where can I get my hands on this? And I kept replying, this is custom built for me. It's not anywhere else. I'm sorry, I can't do anything right now. But obviously the light bulb went off for me and I was like, wow, this is a huge business opportunity. So that's actually the product, the latest product that I've come out with, the one that I'm highly focused on right now, which we're calling the Smart Podcast Player. And we did a launch last month to 250 beta license users, a very sort of what they call a minimum viable product, because there's a lot of things that I want to do with it, but I had to take the smart approach and take a lean sort of launch going into it. And it sold out within 24 hours. And we're about to launch another 500 licenses very soon. And it's turning out to be something that was initially sort of a little side project for a little bit of an additional income to something that could perhaps be a very, very large portion of my income in turn, because this is software. And the cool thing about software, because obviously I've sold information before on that ebook and everything we talked about earlier, but the cool thing about software, and this was the most fulfilling thing for me in terms of that initial launch, was that the next day when I woke up, I had a ton of emails from people saying, from customers who gave me a link to their site with the Smart Podcast Player showing their show. And they all were excited and happy about it. I mean, that's immediate results. When you think of information, people have to first buy it, but then consume it and then actually put it into action. And only a certain percentage of people will get up to that point. But even then, people who put that information into action, even then, a certain percentage of those people will actually see the expected results. So, you know, there's something about software that's kind of really, really getting me excited as of late. And right now it's for the Smart Podcast Player.
Yeah, and you can find that at smartpodcastplayer.com. What inspired you when you launched Ask Pat, hey, I need my own special player?
Well, I just wanted to do something different because my other show is once a week and I have a different blog post for it every week. For this one, I didn't want to sort of bombard my RSS list with daily short little episodes. So I wanted to create a player that would make it easy for me to sort of run through the archive, sort of have a playlist of existing episodes. So if somebody listens to, you know, episode one and be really easy without having to go to a new page to go to episode two and three and four and be able to sort and be able to share each of them and be able to see quickly the show notes of each of them before playing so they can determine which ones make sense. You know, you can group them together. So if somebody wanted all the podcasting episodes, for example, they'd have to just click a few buttons and then there they are in the playlist. And so I wanted a really sleek, easy way to not a way that doesn't take up so much room on a page to deliver all of that content. And that's what my designer and my programmer came up with. Actually, we hired a UX designer to help create this, a user experience designer. And so far the... You know, a lot of the comments about it are about the way it looks, but I also love it because of the way that it functions. And so, again, that's where I started getting a lot of requests was people saw how cool it was, but then they started to play around with it. And, you know, it's just that's where we're at now.
Well, and speaking of the functions, for somebody who's using like PowerPress or one of the other players, what does this do that maybe those websites, you know, or players don't do, or are there things that it does better? What makes it stand out?
Sure. There's a lot of different things actually that are different from the traditional sort of players that plugins like, you know, the PowerPress player or the generic one from Libsyn. I mean, they're all generic and they all do a great job of just playing one single episode. This one, like I said, has the ability to, on one page, play multiple episodes. But it also does a number of different things. There's a lot of options. You know, it's nicely formatted and it looks nice for one. But beyond that, there's the ability to download each episode right from that player. There's the ability to share on Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus. There's the ability to email, again, all nicely laid out and neatly laid out there. The show notes show up within each episode as well. And what's really cool is if you use SoundCloud, which is sort of becoming a, you know, a little bit more well-known in the podcasting realm, you know, they're kind of expanding outside of music and starting to get into podcasting. They have some cool features that the player goes along with as well. You can share how many listens each episode or the total number of downloads or listens that a particular show has had. You could see that on smartpodcastplayer.com. You could actually see a workable version of the Ask Pat podcast there. It also gives you the ability to tag your content on SoundCloud, which is cool because those tags show up in this player. And if I were to click a tag, it shows me all the other episodes that are also marked with that tag as well. So it just gives it a nice user experience. It promotes sharing of those episodes, but it also promotes diving deeper into more episodes that you have. There's a guy named Timothy Moser from Ace Productivity. He installed this player. He was a customer. And then he sent a tweet saying that he was actually floored because on an off day, he actually had more downloads, double almost than normal, because people were going through the player and actually exploring around and not just on one page looking at one player that's playing one episode, but this one player that can potentially play multiple episodes as well.
Yeah, because as I look at, I'm at smartpodcastplayer.com right now, I can see it, number one, is super easy to find play button. I've got a download link. I've got share buttons right underneath that for Twitter and Facebook, Google Plus and email. But down in the bottom right-hand corner, I can see one of page 14, which instantly lets somebody know, okay, this isn't what I'm looking at, isn't the whole picture here. There's a lot more to play with. And then with just a simple click, you go to the next page, and now I'm looking at each title of each episode, which again is why titles are so important, because you get people to click on it. So it's almost like its own little website in the player.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe it, actually. And it's cool because you can search around and look around and read the notes. The links within the notes are clickable. You could even look at notes from other episodes, all whilst if you press the play button beforehand, that episode will continue to go despite you moving around. So that top part with the player will be there for you. It actually embeds the image you have for your podcast as well, the artwork. So I think podcast artwork is underutilized and shouldn't be just used for iTunes. It should definitely be used on a player just like it is here. And there are a lot of other features coming out. You're looking at I think it's the 0.85 version, you know, in technical launch terms, but the 0.9 version came out just recently, and it has a lot of cool features. There's the ability to sort through latest or earliest podcasts over on the right-hand side. There's also, we're adding things like a subscription button, which the reason we didn't have it on there in the beginning, which is almost sounds obvious that there should be one, but we wanted to survey our existing customers. That's the whole purpose of this beta launch, was to, one, you know, at least stay in control of all the bugs and things that are going to happen. And there were bugs when we launched, but those expectations were there before we sold. And we wanted to survey everybody who was a customer to see, okay, how would you prefer the subscription button be placed? You know, where would it go? How would it function and things like that? So we're getting great information from the existing customers who are essential for taking it to the next level. And there's a lot of even cooler features that we could add with this player that I really want to add. But in terms of launching, we have to do it in steps or else it's just going to, you know, I want the ability to, for example, at the end of an episode, have something pop up on the player that says, hey, would you like to subscribe to the show? Did you like the episode? Here, click here to subscribe. Or imagine getting to the end of an episode or even during the middle of an episode and being able to sort of determine where you want that sort of pop up or notification to come up within the player that says, hey, do you like this? Click here to leave a rating on iTunes. You know, cool things like that. Even and for me, coming from, you know, an internet marketing background, I want a way for people to capture email addresses as well. Perhaps doing giveaways at the end. You know, just there's so many things you could do with this. I mean, a traditional player is just a play button with a pause button, maybe a volume control, and that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the subscribe button would be awesome. That's the one thing I've always thought was missing. And it's great because here again, as I've read your book, and I actually am probably, I don't know if every podcaster can say this, I actually read your blog before you were a podcast. I wasn't aware of you. So everything you do kind of has, it sounds weird, you're just so stinking Pat Flynn sometimes. And you're here again, you're asking your audience, you know, what do you need? And then you simply provide it, which kind of is almost internet marketing 101. But the reason it is well, it works. So very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing this. The other thing I want to say, I'm one of your beta testers, and I now have figured out why. When I first put it on my website, I was having a small issue. It was because my website was way overloaded and it was taking too long. It was timing out loading some of the stuff. So it really had nothing to do with the plugin. But the beautiful thing was your support staff is awesome. I mean,
that was huge for me. Like before we launched this, I was like, guys, I've talked to a bunch of people who had launched plugins and premium things that are involved with WordPress before, and they always have customer support. There's always issues. You said we had tested this plugin for a while, like almost a month, trying to break the heck out of it. But I knew, and I was like, guys, we need to make sure that people get their emails answered within 24 hours, hopefully before that, and they are treated like kings. And I'm really, really happy to hear you say that, Dave, as far as the customer support. I really, really appreciate that. And I'll pass it on to them as well.
Yeah, I mean, you were very upfront again and said, look, guys, this is a beta. We're probably going to hit some snags, just so you know. And then it was the case of when I hit one, it was like, boom. It wasn't like, well, it's, you know, you send out the email, you don't know if it's going out to the abyss or not. And it was like, you know, right there. It's like, okay, what's the deal? What are you doing? What are you using? And they worked with me and we finally figured out what was going on. And really, it was just my website was just dying. Basically, I just switched to a virtual private server.
Oh, good.
So it was more my fault than yours. So one of the things I wanted to talk about is, you know, I keep saying you're so stinking Pat Flynn, doggone it. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is I just read your last blog post at Smart Passive Income. And again, I now that I've read your book, I kind of get this. And that's why I was like, oh, we got to bring out this point. How long does it take for you to write a blog post?
Which blog post are you talking about? The income report or the one about email?
The one about email.
Yeah. That one in particular took about a day and a half. So in total hours, about 5 to 6. And that's sort of average for me. I spend a lot of time in terms of quality of content, deliverability, the order of things and focusing, you know, I'm trying to take things to the next level always. And I try to do whatever I can to stand out from everybody else who's posting great content also. So that one in particular was a very fun one to do. I added a lot of images and screenshots and things like that. So that takes a little bit of time as well. I'm very lucky to have a little bit of Photoshop experience from my architecture world. So that helps in terms of getting things at least a little more streamlined, because if I had a designer, there might be a little bit more back and forth. But that one about 5 to 6 hours. Some posts I've done in the past have taken upwards of 20 to 30 hours.
Because the thing that jumped out of your book is when you explained, you know, you were taking notes so that you could refer back to them later to pass this test. And I was like, that's really how you approach, is that still basically how you approach blogging?
I mean, it is. I'm not a very good writer. I'm a terrible copywriter, in my opinion. I only know what I know. So I write what I know. And most of my posts are based on actual real life experiences, which to me are just much easier to talk about. I'm not I've tried the whole sort of trying to make up some theory or, you know, trying to sound all scholarly in my post or whatever. No, I'm just writing as if I'm talking, and I'm talking about things that I've done. Sometimes there are things that go well and I report on those. Sometimes and oftentimes there are things I don't do very well. And I even love to report those even more because people get more information. They learn more from my mistakes. And that's why, you know, my front page at smartpassiveincome.com, you'll see me call myself the crash test dummy, because I just love to try things and report, because whatever the case may be, if it's a win, if it's a fail, if it's something that goes well, if it's something that doesn't, it's always a lesson for people. And people tend to love when I fail. And I love that.
Well, it was funny today because I was teaching a class, and I was basically doing consulting. I had one student. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him, I said, I'm really excited. I get to interview this guy. I've been dying to have him on the show. And I said, I pulled up smartpassiveincome.com. I said, watch this post. I said, I've never read this. I said, I can guarantee you it's going to be a long post filled with links to resources. And I said, just watch. And we scrolled down together, and it was like, well, okay, here he is. He's doing his thing. And as I scrolled down, I'm like, look, here's a link to other things. That somewhere in the post, you're like, oh, here's a link to learn more about making a custom landing page for your email list. And here you can see that MailChimp and iContact. I'm like, yep, there you go. And so that was one of the things I thought, this is somebody who's not spending 20 minutes on a blog post. And it's still kind of that mentality of, this is actually like somebody's passing a test on how to, you know, work with their email in this case. And mm-hmm. I was like, it seems to be, that's like your same, kind of like your same MO, almost like somebody's passing a test on email marketing, and here's your checklist to get by.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a fantastic way to look at it. And, you know, like I said, if you go to that post in particular, I don't know if you'll link to this in the show notes, mm-hmm. But it's, I like that one because I was trying a lot of new things. And one of the new things I was trying was, you know, on Facebook and on Twitter, there's a lot of, there's a trend of, what is it, the animated GIF mm-hmm. now. And typically it's just done for entertainment purposes, you know, cycling through somebody getting hit in the groin or something, you know, just you can't stop watching it, you know, sort of like a Vine video. But I tried to do that with some instruction, you know, so people don't have to load a video. It's just automatically playing how to do something. So you'll see that sort of, actually it's near the beginning of that post mm-hmm. actually. But that's really cool. And I might explore doing more things like that. I love to try new things and just see what works. And that is also great because it doesn't take up size. The file size mm-hmm. is fairly small compared to like a video, and then you have to buffer and things like that.
Well, a lot of people are studying what you do. Who do you study?
Well, I love and get most of my information from other people in my mastermind groups. I'm actually in three completely different mastermind groups, and they're all with completely different people in all different niches. And I learn so much, mostly from people outside of the space I'm in. I work with people who, not work with them, but I sort of collaborate or get information from, you know, hold accountable. They hold me accountable. There's one guy who's a stage performer. He actually swallows swords for a living and does hypnotism and stuff. I've learned so much about him in terms of stage presence and deliverability, you know, and I've been doing a lot of public speaking lately, and he's been an amazing asset for me and an amazing friend and support factor as well. There's people in the personal finance industry. I have some who are also podcasters but are podcasting in different niches, and it's just great to get all these different minds together. So I there are some people out there that I do sort of look up to and try to stay on point with because I just admire what they do, and they're always forward thinking. People like Tim Ferriss, obviously he's sort of following us in terms of podcasting. He mm-hmm. just came out with his podcast, which is kind of cool to see him come on board with that lately. You know, Seth Godin is always a forward thinking mastermind when it comes to marketing. Gary Vaynerchuk, those are the types of people I look at. And there's also, you know, people like, you know, authors that I really enjoy, like Malcolm Gladwell, not for, you know, marketing strategies, but just for deeper thinking about the things that I do and how I might be able to better influence and help more people.
You had mentioned that people love to watch you fail. So what would be an example? Because I think everybody, they go to your website and, you know, it's kind of cool. You've got your monthly earnings right there in the upper right-hand corner, and they think just, wow, this guy is just, everything he touches goes to gold. So what would be an example of something you tried that just went, well, there's something I can cross off the bucket list?
Oh, well, where do I start? There's a ton of them. I mean, I've done a number of different sites in the past. one of the first things I failed at was after Green Exam Academy, my study guide site did really well. I immediately went to my fiance and April, she's my wife now. I was like, wow, this website stuff is awesome. I know how to create a blog now. Let's do one together. So we decided that we were going to do sort of husband, wife, or, you know, type of blog where there'd be a topic and then she would be like the girl's point of view and I'd be the guy's point of view. And it'd be really, we'd be all witty at each other and it'd be fun and entertaining. So I actually spent a couple $1,000s on a custom theme off of Elance. I built the site, had it ready. And then we started writing. And we found that it was just not going to work. We did it in totally reverse order. If we had just simply done what the site was all about first before making it fancy, getting everything ready, we would have found out that we were like writing about one topic that first day and we were already getting into fights. And we're like, okay, this is probably not the healthiest thing in the world for us to do. So that was like $2,000 down the drain. But it was a good learning experience. It made me understand that, you know, if I'm going to write a book, don't even worry about what the cover looks like first. I got to write the book. That was that one and what I learned from that. My buddy and I started an iPhone application company. We actually are still alive and we've published about 27 apps that are live in iTunes right now. And when we first started, we made a huge mistake because we were so excited about getting in the market. This was at a time when there was about 50,000 apps in the App Store. Currently, there's much, much more than that. This is back in early 2009. And we had hired a developer on Elance. We posted a job on Elance and we had about 20 bids from developers who knew the programming language for iPhone and who understood our concept. Well, we hired on the lowest bidder on the first day. And that was a huge mistake because what was supposed to be an investment of $2,000 ended up being about $8,000 over a course of 6 months, which it should have taken about a month. So we lost a lot of time, momentum, energy, and focus because we were just so early to jump on the cheapest person we could hire. So that's when we decided to really do some better background checks on who we were going to be working with. And we've since been working with great people, but it was that first time that it took to help us understand. You know, we learned the lesson the hard way. Even though I launched a smart podcast player recently, this wasn't my first attempt at a WordPress plugin. I've actually tried to do two other ones. This was back in 2010 and 2011. And I must have dropped $10,000 on those to get those developed. And that was a big lesson for me because after they were done, I tested them with people. And people didn't really find any good use out of them. You know, they were something that was useful for me. I was sort of scratching my own itch. But in terms of selling those to other people, it wasn't really an itch that many other people had. And I didn't know because I just assumed. And so what happened was I just didn't release those products at all. They're there, but I didn't release them. And so the big lesson there was, you know, you gotta validate what it is that you're going to do. You know, with the smart podcast player, that was validated for me when I created it for myself, but then I had validation from everybody who was asking me for it. Even with the GreenExamAcademy.com book, people were suggesting that I create something more useful than just pages on a website, you know, so packaging it in a PDF, or people would often say, I would pay for this information. Thank you for giving it away for free. So that's validation there. Now, a lot of people who have ideas or are coming out with products, they take a small portion of their audience and talk to them about these ideas before even creating it. You know, oftentimes people will pre-sell software before a software is even made, or pre-sell an info product before it's even made, pre-sell a course before the course is actually created. Though that's a really smart thing to do because, you know, you could validate it and you'll know and you won't have to guess anymore.
Yeah, you'll even know if, is anybody even interested in it?
Exactly, exactly.
So, because there might be somebody that goes, well, wait a minute, you spent, you know, thousands of dollars to get a plugin. Why not just release it anyway?
There's a lot of different reasons why I didn't want to do that. First of all, in terms of customer service, I didn't at the time have the ability to support it, which was another not very smart idea, or not very forward thinking of me. I just hired somebody to create it, but I didn't have any way to update it. I didn't have any way to support it, things like that, without having to pay people much, much more, or potentially get other people who didn't create it to do that, which would have been a mess. You know, for me in particular, if I'm going to charge for something, I want it to be definitely worth people's money and time. I don't feel like releasing something just that is sort of, you know, everything that I give away is free. I try to make it outstanding. So it would be totally not Pat Flynn and totally just greedy of me if I were to have something created and it wasn't so good, but I would just release it anyway.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my thoughts is, so what does it take for a product to have the name from Pat Flynn on it?
Well, it has to, you know, what it really comes down to is just providing tremendous value, completely making people's lives easier in one way, shape, or form. I really think that's what it comes down to be a no-brainer. I think to a point where if people didn't get it, it would make more sense to get it than not to, and to have that distinction be really, really clear. So, you know, obviously great customer service, whether it's an info product or a software product, to have that be there, of course, to keep people and their user experience through using that product or getting that information very, very good quality. I want to take care of my people, especially those who, you know, have taken out their wallets. So I didn't feel comfortable at that time. And I feel like if there's some part of me that isn't really okay with it, or if there's some part of me that, you know, is like, I don't know if this is right, then it's not. You know, I have to be completely sure on my end as well in order for other people to be completely sure as well. I remember actually, this actually brings up another great story. In 2010, I created a site at securityguardtraininghq.com, and it is currently, and it has been for a number of years, been the number one security guard training website in the world on Google, you know, in rankings. And it helps people understand the requirements and needs and training that they need to do security guard, to become a security guard. So I created that site. I did it publicly on smartpassiveincome.com to show people the process. And that helped out a lot because people saw every step along the way. People did see where I failed along the way too, but I still got it to number one and it started to generate an income. It's generated, I believe at this point, over $100,000 on its own, and hardly any work in the last 2 years to upkeep it. But I remember, even though I shared everything for free, all the steps along the way, every tool that I used and everything I did, people were still wanting, you know, something beyond that, a course, for example. And so I actually spent 3 months putting training videos together, putting together homework and this whole set of coursework, putting together a whole back-end membership site to put that together. And once I saw it, I was, even though that product was validated, even though I probably could have made a good amount of money off of it, there was just some part of me that just didn't feel right. It didn't feel right. And part of the reason was because some of the strategies I used in that particular case study that I shared in this course weren't really, they could be considered gray hat. They were things that weren't like illegal, but they were things that, you know, it just, they were sort of on the edge of, you know, is this really the right thing to do? So what I was doing, for example, was I was creating blogs and writing on them and linking them back to my main site just to get a backlink, like things like that. Right. So I wasn't hurting anybody, but it just didn't seem right. And so I didn't launch that product. And even though I'd spent 3 months and, you know, a lot of time and energy and money into that, it was the right move. It was the right move because I didn't have the 100% feeling in my head that it was exactly what needed to be done. And it was actually good timing too that I didn't do it, because Google had just come out with their Panda update right after, which totally annihilated most of those strategies that I was just talking about. So I'm really glad that I didn't go through with it. And a lot of the information is just there free on the website now, the stuff that will be timeless at nichesiteduel.com, which is where I talk about the security guard training site. And this most recent one where I'm doing another experimental site publicly, I built a site that's going to help people in the food truck industry. That's at foodtrucker.com. And that website is done using completely white hat strategies, just focusing on delivering high value content and getting backlinks that way from people sharing, from people really enjoying the content. And so far it's been great. It's a lot slower, but you know, when I think about it, smartpassiveincome.com took about a year and a half before it really started to gain some ground and earn a decent income. And same thing for Green Exam Academy. You know, from the time I started that site and started writing my notes to the time I launched and started making money from my ebook, it was almost 2 years. So now about a year into Food Trucker, it's going well. It's getting about 25,000 unique visitors a month now, which is great. And I'm about to release the first product for that, which is an ebook, a very, very similar approach to what I did with greenexamacademy.com. Because on greenexamacademy.com with that ebook, I actually took most of the information that was already on the site, and packaged it into an ebook, made it much more convenient for people to use. And that's the same thing I'm doing with Food Trucker. We did a whole series on how to start a food truck. And we're just taking that series, adding a bunch of bonuses to it, and turning that into an ebook. And that will be launched mid-August, actually.
Is there going to be a Food Trucker podcast?
There is a Food Trucker podcast. There is. I'm 16 episodes in.
Excellent. That was one thing I wanted to, I know you said this per nauseum, and I hate to have you repeat yourself, but it's one of my favorite stats from you. You know, smart passive income is always ranked high. If you do any kind of search for, you know, internet marketing and how to grow your audience, that's going to come up in there. So you didn't need a podcast, but yet you started one. Mm-hmm. And explain how podcasting helped your already successful blog.
Well, I started a podcast because it was a podcast that helped me get involved with this and help inspire me. So I knew it was a great medium for inspiration and content delivery and communication, but I never had any idea that after I started it would get these kinds of results. So in terms of numbers, I remember doing a survey a few years back just to my blog readers, not my podcast audience, not my YouTube audience, just my blog readers asking, how did you first find out about me? Where did you first hear about me? How did you first come to me? The number one result was through iTunes. 19% of people who read my blog found me through my audio podcast. And then next, 18% was through YouTube. And then beyond that was links from other sites, 15%. And then it was Google. And that's where my presentation called How to Be Everywhere came about, because when you expand outside of your blog and get into things like podcasting and things like YouTube, you could really reach a new audience that who would have never found you otherwise. Now, that doesn't mean you should be everywhere right from the start. It was a progression to get onto all those different platforms. And actually, I went to YouTube before going to podcasting. But, you know, getting on all those platforms has sort of made me more than just a blogger, more than just a podcaster. It's sort of become this entire brand now. And then in terms of just general feeling from the podcast, I mean, what I love the most is when I go to conferences now, people recognize who I am and they want to come up to me and they say hi and we're talking. They always say, I love your podcast. I love your podcast. I listen to your show. I remember this episode, so on and so forth. Nobody talks about the blog anymore. Nobody, even though that's what I started with and I have, you know, that's what I became known for at first. The conversations I have with people who listen to the podcast always end up the same way. They always eventually say, Pat, I feel like I know you. And then a lot of people go, Pat, is this weird? Because like, I feel like I know everything about you and you don't even know my name yet. And at first that freaked me out. Like people would come up to me and be like, hey dude, like how's your fantasy football team? Or, you know, how's your family doing? And I'd be like, whoa, like who are you? But now I'm like, I understand that is just a sign that I'm actually making real connections, building real friendships with people through the airwaves of my podcast. And it's not just like one-to-one, it's like one to tens of thousands of people at the same time. And when I really think about those numbers, like I imagine the podcast is equivalent to me being at Qualcomm Stadium here in San Diego on the 50-yard line and the entire stadium is filled and me talking to all those people. That is just like, imagining that is just so crazy to me. But that's actually what's happening with our podcast, yeah. You know?
One of the things, people go out to smartpassiveincome.com, they see your earnings and they go, wow, that guy made more last month than he did, more than I did the whole year. And there's nobody more surprised by that number than you. Obviously, you're not complaining. You know, obviously, you're very blessed and you're very happy. But for the person that says, I wish I was Pat Flynn, what is one thing that maybe you didn't think about when you started getting all this success that you go, ooh, I didn't think that was going to come with the package?
A negative side of all this is now that I've sort of become well-known and people see, you know, the income, and especially when it comes to the amount of affiliate income I get. So other companies are making money as a result of me making money as well. I'm getting JV offers and offers to become an affiliate for different products every day. Dozens of people are emailing me every week saying, hey, I came out with this new product. Check it out. Like, I'd love for you to be an affiliate. Like, really pushing me hard to promote all these other things. And this is not just me. This is a lot of other people who have a target audience, a large audience, you know, from mom bloggers to, you know, anybody. You know, I know because I've talked to them. They get constantly bombarded with other companies or other people who want to get in front of their traffic and want a piece of that pie. And so it's tough because I know a lot of people in the past who had websites similar to mine who have just gone astray. They've gone down the wrong path. And actually, a few of them were not friends anymore. Their sites have totally changed and they are all about the money now. Mm. For me, I always think about what's in it for my audience. What can my audience get from this that they can't get anywhere else? And if I can't answer that, then I don't even give that product a chance. A second thing that goes along with that is if I do give it a chance, like and I look at it and it has potential in terms of how it was described, in order for me to promote it to my audience, I have to use it first. And I would not feel comfortable. I don't think anybody should feel comfortable promoting something to their audience that they've never used before. The trust that you have with your audience is the most important thing in the world. And it's so hard to gain, but it's so easy to lose. And if I were to promote something that didn't give one of my audience members a good experience, yeah, they might be upset at that product or the owner of that product, but they're gonna be more upset at me because I was the one to recommend it. And so I highly value the relationship I have with my audience. It is the most important thing to me online. And obviously, because I know that without that, I wouldn't have anything. And so I really focus on that relationship and also being honest and upfront. And if I make mistakes, to admit them, to do what I can to go out of my way to help people and always try to go above and beyond. That's why the whole customer service with the Smart Podcast Player was very, very important to me. And like I said, I'm really glad to hear that you had a good experience with them. And, I've gotten a lot of emails from people who said the same thing.
Go ahead. I was just going to say the one thing where those people really value their email list, and you should, it's an important asset. You value your audience trust more than that. Because without the trust, the email list is pointless.
Correct. And I use my email list to build trust. I don't use it to sell. And so you might be like, well, the money's in the list. And I agree with that. But I don't think you have to directly earn money from your list. I think the money's in the list because you can use the list to completely build trust in giving value and delivering content that's outside of your blog and asking questions and actually communicating. Email is meant for communication, and communication should be both ways, right? So in a lot of my emails, even my autoresponder series, I'll ask a question. One of the best questions I ask is, what are you struggling with right now? And of course, I get a ton of people telling me exactly what their problems, pains, issues, and wants and needs are, which allows me to discover products, blog posts, podcast episodes that I should be creating. I don't have to guess. Another thing I do is just say, hey guys, like if you ever see me getting down the wrong direction, I want you to email me and tell me, because I'm here for you. And if you don't feel that that's the case anymore, let me know. And a lot of people respond to that email because they feel like I'm here for the right reasons, which I am, or I feel like I do at least. And the more I can communicate with people, obviously, the more the trust is going to be built. And then, the more trust you have, the less aggressive, the less pushy you have to be with your sales. That's just what it comes down to me. Again, I'm not a good salesman. I'm not a good copywriter. So I rely on the trust factor and I rely on my own results.
Well, the last question I have for you, because as we talk about this, you're spending hours on a blog post and you're researching things that might be potential, JV stuff, and you're answering emails and all this other stuff. So how do you balance work and family?
It's interesting because in the beginning, even before I had kids, it was a struggle. And I think this is a struggle for anybody trying to do something new online, any entrepreneur, any business owner. It's a huge struggle because as business owners, as entrepreneurs, we get the bug and we can't get that bug. We can't stop thinking about our business. And it was really eating into the relationship I had with my fiance and then wife for a long time. I remember having conversations with her. Again, this is before we had kids, and actually sort of daydreaming about my business, while having a conversation. Actually, she's talking to me. There's voices coming out of her mouth. And I just see her mouth moving and I'm thinking about email or the next blog post. It was completely unfair, totally just the wrong thing to do. We were having a conversation. She's like, are you thinking about your business right now? And she caught me. But I was, being a dude. I'm like, no, no. And she's like, what is the last thing I said?
And I was like, the pop quiz.
And I was like, you're thinking about your business, aren't you? And I thought I got it. And then she's like, no, before that. And of course, she caught me. But that was a big eye opener because that was the reality check, to hear it from her in those words and that tone. And I'm so appreciative of her because she's always been honest and upfront with me like that. And it was at that point that, I had to figure things out to try and balance this direction that I didn't know where I was going in online business with everything else that was important to me. And I think it's important as business owners and entrepreneurs to remember that life isn't just about entrepreneurship. It's about what entrepreneurship can get for you. And so for me, the most important thing that I wanted was a happy, secure, financially secure family with a lot of experiences. And so you know, a lot of things had to be done in terms of how I was working to be able to balance. That was the first thing, to control myself. And so I had my, I needed my own physical environment to work, one that I could get out of. Because as much as we say like, oh, let's break away from the 9-to-5, let's get rid of the 9-to-5 job, you know, let's escape. But the nice thing about the 9-to-5 job is at 5 o'clock, you can check out, not just physically, but also mentally. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the reason is because you're actually checked out physically too. So giving myself my own sort of office space or section in the house where only thing I do in there is work, I know that when I'm there, I'm in work mode. And when I'm not, when I'm out of there, I'm not in work mode. And so, you know, it took a little bit of time to figure that out, but I got it. I think beyond that, the biggest thing was actually having a schedule too. A schedule so that, you know, my wife can understand when I'm in work time and when I shouldn't be interrupted unless it's an emergency. And then when it's not work time, so we can chat and I know mentally that I shouldn't be working. So that's been really helpful too. And then in terms of the kids, I mean, the kids screwed everything up, you know, in terms of the schedule. But now what's happening is I've learned that, you know, everything has to be based around their schedule. From when they were babies, it's always them and then second me. And so now at this point in time, you know, I found the right rhythm and it's going to change next month because my son's going to preschool. For the most part, I play with them all day. We do our errands. We have, you know, eat and then whatever. I don't do any work. I don't even try to think about work until 9 p.m. at night after they're down. Because I found that working from 9 to 1 or 9 to 2, typically about 4 or 5 hours a day, and I'm mostly creative at night. You know, I've tried writing blog posts during the day. I'm just more creative at night. So in that way, I'm working with myself too, not against myself. But with my kids, I can get more done in 2 hours at night when they're asleep and the house is quiet than I can in 8 hours during the day where I'm constantly being interrupted. Because a big productivity thing is, you know, when you get interrupted, you get out of your flow and it could take up to 25 to 30 minutes to get back to where you were. And a lot of times you'll be interrupted even before you're back to where you were. So I've just learned to not even try to work during the day right now. I work from 9 to 1 typically, and I typically go into the evening with one or two things I want to accomplish to consider that day a win for me. And if I finish those early, then awesome, I can go watch
Back to the Future. Dancing
with the Stars. Or yeah, I probably should have said Back to the Future, but yeah.
Awesome. Well, everybody, check out his blog. It's awesome. SmartPassiveIncome.com. Check out the player, SmartPodcastPlayer.com. AskPat.com is another great one. I start off my morning drive with AskPat. And awesome. Thanks so much for coming on the show, my man.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
Super nice guy. Again, a year and a half. Did you write that down? A year and a half to grow his audience. You're talking hours to create a show post. And the fact that the detail that he puts into his show notes, it's like you're using them to pass a test. You want to be able to send somebody and go, oh, if you want to know how to, you know, if you want to know why Blog Talk Radio is bad, here, go to this post. Here are my 12 reasons why Blog Talk Radio is bad. Or whatever it is your post is. Here, if you want to know why this is my favorite sci-fi movie, here's why. And people could use your notes to pass a test. And it's that kind of information that gets you crawled by Google. It gets you shared on Twitter. It gets you shared on Google Plus and Facebook. It's that kind of detail. And so this is where, you know, this is a guy that's putting in the work. You got to do the work. You got to do the research. And bottom line, what did you notice above all? You heard throughout that entire interview was it all came down to the listener. He wouldn't sell out and just put out anything. And when in doubt, he asked, you heard him, how he released a smart podcast player. He released it to a few people. And the first thing he did was got their opinion because it's all about your audience. So Pat, thank you so much for coming on the show. And if you're looking to start a podcast, there's one place that has everything you need, and that is schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LISTENER, all lowercase, by the way, and that will save you on your first month. I'm going to remind you again that if you are at Podcast Movement, I'm going there. I'm going to Texas to deliver a presentation, but more importantly, I'm going there to meet you. And so when you see me, please take the time to say hello. Because I'm really, 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 and by that I mean really looking forward to meeting you. So thank you so much for tuning in. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. Let me remind you that it is time to live a life worth podcasting about. And until next week, and next week's episode is going to be weird. I might actually do that whole thing from my phone because I'm going to be in Texas. so we'll see what comes out next week. But until then, class dismissed. God bless. Take care, everybody.